Radio that's passionate, genuine, and personal. CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
You've tuned in to Truth Before Reconciliation with your host, Tammy Wolf, where we're building relationships and teaching truth before reconciliation. Hi, you've tuned in to Truth Before Reconciliation, produced by CKUW. This is Tammy Wolf, the host, here with Darlene Daniels today. So thanks so much, Darlene, for being here. Darlene's actually the owner and operator of Atawan Designs here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Thanks so much, Darlene, for being here with me today to talk a little bit about identity and culture and what you do with your business.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So for the listeners out there, I thought maybe we might start with some intros for your design business, Atawan Designs, and maybe how you got into that.
Buju wabe makwana desna kazma nigan totem kistugano wanchi donji. My name is Darlene, and I learned all my traditional skills from my grandmothers on both sides of my family, and I would go up north, and I'd be kind of like a crazy kid, and I'd run around, and my grandma took me in a corner and started teaching me to bead to keep me out of trouble, and I hated it. And then a little later on, I started to love it. I don't know, can't remember when I started to love it, but I did. And so she said I had a skill. Anything I see, I can make. So that's where Atawan started when I was little. But now recently I've made it into a business. And the full name, I asked my aunt if she could give me a name for my business, and she named it Awas Atawan Initianinu, which means, I don't know what, like it's a person, and then Atawan is by something, and it's Initianinu Designs.
Which is buy something, which is a good name for a company because you want people to buy things, right?
Yeah, the interpretation has been buy something or I have something to sell.
Oh, something to sell. Nice. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
So, I like buy something.
So I actually, I thought maybe because I've known Darlene for many, many years, we kind of connected around design and I guess me relearning how to connect with my own culture. So you were the one who actually taught me how to make my daughter's regalia,
right?
With a program here in Winnipeg, which we're going to talk a little bit more about later. But I thought maybe to start the conversation off around, because we actually just bumped into each other the other day, you mentioned that you had been working on the new show Acting Good.
Right.
With Paul Rablauskas. So that show's actually on CTV, also being released on APTN.
Tuesday.
So let's talk a little bit about that and how your design business kind of got involved in that.
Right. I discovered that that there was a need for people to have authentic Indigenous outfits made by, you know, grandmas and aunties and stuff. So I started to work on Acting Good. And so part of it was as a trainee, because what I was shocked about is there's no Indigenous costume designers in Winnipeg. And so my goal right. is to be a costume designer in Winnipeg. I've worked on a few shows now, and just looking at how we could be a bigger part of the film and movie industry.
Right. So you've done some work with CTV, I guess, with Acting Good, but you've also done some shows on CBC as well.
I did. I did SkyMed, which is on CBC Gem now, and I also did Little Bird. So I did the designs, and because it was a period piece on Little Bird, I did costumes, powwow outfits, star blankets from the 80s.
Right. So, and yeah. Little Bird, it has yet to be released. So look out for that one.
Yeah.
Yes. So what exactly are you doing in regards to costume design? So you're specifically looking at Indigenous-based clothing, yes?
Yes. And I do the specialty pieces like jean jackets, beadwork, crowns, like powwow crowns. There was a scene where somebody is a powwow princess, so I did the crown, the sash. I was telling Tammy, I did a gigantic Tikkanogan that fit Paul Rabalskas. And so it's kind of like thinking and figuring out how you can do the design and how it's going to be. You have to draw it out, you have to plan it. And I did a troll outfit for Paul's, he was having a nightmare. And so it was, it was just a really, really fun thing to do, is just think about how do you do it, and you see it to fruition. And then also buying locally. Like, I really believe that we should buy locally. So when the costume designer sent out people, we'd already planned on where they're going to buy. And it's so important.
Right. And so for those of you who don't know what a Tikkanogan is actually the traditional name for a baby cradle board, or also known as a moss bag without the board on the back. So that's what traditional Indigenous people would carry their babies in and still do, even into today. So shout out to Paul for that scene. really funny nightmare, being stuck in a Tikkanogan in a baby cradle board.
And I had to make a gigantic bonnet.
Right, and a gigantic bonnet. So if you have not, please do go out and watch that episode. And it is now on CTV as well. I believe you can check it out on APTN. But it must be, it's funny because as I hear you talking about, these creations of different costumes, different things that you're kind of working on the sets of these TV shows, it brings me back to like when we first met, and you were teaching me how to make my daughter's regalia. And this was many years ago. My daughter's 14 now. And I believe it was it took me 2 years. I think she was 2 years old when we first met. She didn't start dancing until she was four. So going back to that, and I always remember, you taught me how to, work with the fabric. I knew how to use the sewing machines, but I hadn't done applique before. So you taught me how to do a lot of applique, working with heat and bond, sewing and putting things together. But that was what I really remembered, is that the process of design, and that's what I think a lot of people don't recognize with creation of Indigenous made goods, is that that's a large majority of what you're doing when you're creating items.
Right. Yeah, we're natural designers. Like if I think back, my grandmothers, they had to use whatever was available to them. So we naturally designed, and we're naturally conserved our fabric and any kind of produce we had or used. But I remember when we started off making your daughter's outfit, and we made it so that it can be expanded several times. And I remember just seeing her dancing, and she was 11 or 12 and she still had it. Because I went, oh, she did it. She took it apart, further, further, further. And it's just so wonderful to see her grow with that outfit.
Honestly, I think of that time fondly, and I love the fact that that's exactly what you taught me how to do, was to be able to reimagine it for her to grow into it. So I did, with her shawl, I added fabric onto the edges so that it could be bigger. And then, when she was an 11 and 12, she was still dancing. She's actually switched to jingle now, but I just made her moccasins and leggings. Super proud of them, by the way, because I did them applique style with ribbon work, and they fit like gloves.
Wow. Very cool.
So thank you. Shout out Darlene. I actually have to show you some pictures of what I did, actually, because she danced for the first time just this past weekend.
Nice.
In her new regalia. But I guess I wanted to kind of talk a little bit more about the importance of that representation, because I know that you did mention that there's no Indigenous designers in regards to TV. And As we can see now, we're seeing a lot more representation of Indigenous people on TV, in movies, and really wanting to have that authentic, and not just authentic, but I mean, we need Indigenous people working in Indigenous positions, being able to do these things. So Let's talk a little bit about the importance of that.
Well, I think where our people are starting to get the skills, you know, whether it's screenwriters, directors, actors, and it's a really wonderful time for Indigenous stories.
Right.
But we have to be in the leadership positions. What you see a lot of times is non-Indigenous people in the leadership positions, and they have to be educated about what our culture means.
Right.
Whereas if Indigenous people were in the leadership roles, they don't need to educate, and they can do exactly what they want. And what I really liked in Acting Good when I saw the series is we didn't explain the whole thing. They didn't explain the culture. They didn't explain the jokes. And they were a lot of times inside jokes.
Right.
And that we get to laugh. And you could see the difference where non-Indigenous people said, oh, well, I didn't, you know, I guess it's okay. And, you know, but our people were glued to the TV listening to the jokes.
But
it has to be at the leadership level, like the showrunners, the directors.
Right.
They had some really amazing directors come out, but it's, you know, not shouldn't be just one thing. And so Little Bird has Jennifer Podemski, and
she's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, and she's a showrunner. And so we have up and coming showrunners that really need to give the freedom to tell the stories that we want.
Right.
And not seeing us as victims.
Right.
And not doing trauma porn.
Right.
You know, that's we want to see that we have loves and lives. And
I feel like it's for, with, and by, right? And that's really what we're trying to show.
Yes.
In representation. And it's not even just in TV, right?
Right.
And the fact that, we've been stigmatized for so long. And I know one of the things that I always say, and I've said this probably on the show before in the past as well, is I've always said, if people could only see how beautiful our culture is, you know, people's ideas of who Indigenous people would change. Like I encouraged my students to come out to the powwow, and I the powwow here at University of Winnipeg. And I said, like, come see. Mm-hmm. And one of my students showed up and said, oh, well, I loved the announcer, that now I understand how you talked about humor. And
he saw
that how Indigenous people come together and actually saw and engaged with culture and identity, right? And that's really what I feel like representation on TV is doing for, with, and by, right? So when you have people like yourself in that role, how does that make you feel?
So when I got out of university, I wanted to be a filmmaker.
Mm.
So that was in the 80s, right? That was a while ago.
Right.
No, 90s. And I wrote a script for a documentary. I got the funding, and a company was going to produce it. And when I went to sign it, it was horrible. It wasn't good.
Really?
So, you know, it was like they own the rights, they own this, they own that, you know.
Right.
I couldn't, you know, say anyways. So then I I went into social services because I was so heartbroken that right. I couldn't do what I wanted to do.
Right.
So now, you know, 2000, you know, in the 2000s, it's coming to fruition, and we couldn't be banked on either. So, you know, the big companies wouldn't fund Native Indigenous shows.
Right.
It wasn't bankable. It wasn't. Now we are because, you know, the different things like Truth and Reconciliation.
Right.
You know, so now we're bankable. So now they're starting to develop those kinds of things.
Well, I feel like another kind of buzzword that I've been using is Indigenous Renaissance.
Right.
Because we're seeing representation across the board in many different fields, not just on TV, but we're seeing people, like you mentioned, becoming educated. And one of the things, I guess, the connections that I was making as well was I think about back to myself when I first met you, right? And I talked about trying to reconnect to who I am. And my daughter's the first person in my family to dance powwow.
Right.
My mom was a part of the 60s Scoop. I was raised in child welfare. We have a lot of, you know, Indigenous people who have been disconnected, right? Mm-hmm. And so this Indigenous Renaissance, if you will, I feel has a lot to do with reconnection and kind of reclamation, or I want to say resurgence of Indigenous people connecting to who they are, their identity, their culture. Let's talk a little bit about that and about how you feel about I mean this Indigenous Renaissance, if you will.
Right. It's exciting times. Exciting times for all of us, and that we don't have to now, you know, beg for representation, that it should be in there. We're demanding it now, and we're saying this is what has to happen.
Right.
And this is what we do, and we'll not accept anything less.
Right.
We have stories that need to be told, but from our perspective, without translation of white eyes, you know, translating what the story means for an audience that's non-Indigenous, we get to just be who we are.
Right.
And there, you know, there's hundreds of stories, and there's hundreds of stories of reconnecting back to the culture. And I think one quote I've heard was, before we can go forward, we have to look back. So we have to know who we are, where we come from, where we belong, where our stories are from.
Beautiful.
And that's the journey of reconnection, because then we know what our, you know, everything that's happening, we have a base to it. And that people who were disconnected, you know, I grew up in my community with my family, but the people that were missing, we always talked about them. They were always they were always in our minds and in our thoughts. And sometimes people would put, like, at the dinner time, they'd put a place setting for the children that were missing. But so they were never forgotten, and they were just always being waited to return home. So that's reconciliation too, in my put.
Well, I feel like too that when you talk about that space, right? And I almost feel like that space that we've kept there for those people, it's like now we're seeing that circle. I want to say that circle reconnecting with everyone, and kind of, I mean, I feel like the work that's being done is honoring, is honoring in that way, right? Because we are in control of that. I feel more so in control of that. For example, I was thinking, and I guess maybe this might even be a whole nother bag of, or a can of worms, when I'm thinking about Trickster and Michelle Latimer and coming together. Like, we've been pushing so hard to have representation for, with, and by. And then we're even coming to a place where we're saying, like, no, this is not right.
Right.
Like, somebody, do you want to speak a little bit on that?
I think it's we're seeing it pop up everywhere for people who have, you know, no claiming Indigenous heritage and culture. And I think that's part of our culture. We're very welcoming, and you know, it's never come up, but you can tell people who aren't indigenous and right. who don't belong. And so they profit off our stories right. and they profit. So that's another way that, you know, colonization has
negatively impacted us.
And they see opportunities.
Right.
So, you know, I think she's in L.A. doing fine, like having a big right. career. So it's, you know, it's you can do this. You can lose a whole show, a whole bunch of people.
And then just pick up and keep going.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. so, you know, I think Joseph Boyer is doing well.
I believe so, too, yeah.
In Europe. Right. Yeah, 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 yeah. So you can just pick up. And it's not, you know, we have a lot of people who have grown up out of the culture, who may not act indigenous, that we say is indigenous.
Right.
And we also have people who don't look like they're indigenous because we come from all walks of life.
Right.
So it's also, you know, we have to make the space and we have to be part opening and welcoming. But we also get to question people, you know, their community, where they belong, right. that kind of thing. And maybe, you know, as time goes on, it won't be as easy to do that, you know,
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Let's hope we're moving in that direction.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. yeah.
And I feel like you're a good example of this, you know, that piece, right? Because that's what your intent is. Your intent is to try to make that space or close that space
right.
of an indigenous costume designer, because as you mentioned, again, there's no representation of that. So do you want to speak a little bit about that process?
Yeah. So the process is, I was on Acting Good. I was a trainee, I just agreed to work under a non-Indigenous costume designer.
Right.
And so, you know, as an Indigenous designer, I can look at a jingle dress and I could tell it wasn't made by an Indigenous person.
Right.
And it also has no spirit. Like
right.
you can't feel the spirit, but it, you know, it's cut and, you know, all its angles are just correct and
right.
things like that. So
like it's been measured but it hasn't been tailored.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's also, you know, it's also, I don't know how do you say it. The angles are very different from how we would tailor it.
Because we don't measure.
No.
It's funny because my boyfriend does measurements at his job. He does, he's a glazier. And so when I made my girls' mocks and I did it all by just measuring her out. Like it's by her size. It's not by,
yeah,
on the measuring tape, this size. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, but you can tell.
Yes.
You can tell. And then, you know, we smudge as we go along.
Right.
We pray because we know it's a healing dress or,
right.
you know. And so it takes a life form.
Right.
And then it has a spirit.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, you can really tell that. So I think, you know, as an Indigenous, and I'm working towards being an Indigenous costume designer, that I really would like to see, you know, like our designs
mm-hmm.
done in a way, you know, like not that it looks like you came from a, you know, a fashion design school.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
With the exact measurements. Yeah.
yeah.
And that's the thing, is just connecting to that, because people who don't understand the culture don't really identify that. They don't identify that it's not just the creation of items, right? It's like there's a connection there, again, across culture and identity.
Right.
And when you talk about things like spirit, there is a, yeah, I want to say ceremonial aspect to that, for example, like a jingle dress, right? Because there's a story attached to that. There's something connecting who we are as Indigenous people to that work.
Right.
So really, I feel like that even just makes it more, that much more meaningful when you talk about an Indigenous costume designer, right? It's not just somebody coming into the industry and trying to get that position. It's meaningful.
Yes.
Yes. Super meaningful.
Yeah, and we think collectively. So we don't think, you know, get the cheapest outfit. It could be made by a non-Indigenous person, earrings, whatever.
Right.
That we support our community and we support local. So,
right.
You know, it's not just me. It's all the other designers are coming with me. You know, like I don't want to mm-hmm. not like just be exclusive.
Right.
Yeah.
I just feel like, again, as you're talking, I feel like, you know, when you're talking about that place setting, I keep yes. going back to that place setting, right? Yeah. And like closing that circle or I mean, being inclusive of that circle, trying to bring everybody back together, right? Because we have had such, and I want to say a disconnection from these inner circles.
Right.
So it's really important, I feel, to see representation from people who are doing the work that you're doing. And I mean, even just the connection of how we met, right? Like,
right.
And people have asked me, I know I keep saying it, but people have asked me, like, where did you learn to do that? Right. Because a lot of people do know my backstory and how I was just quite disconnected, due to, you know, colonial impacts with my family. And I always say, I'm like, shout out Darlene Daniels. You know, she taught me everything that I know. And moving forward, sitting in that basement,
right.
On Ellis, in that haunted basement, you would let me come in and use the sewing machines. This was long ago, before I even owned a sewing machine. But you let me come in and again, you were inclusive.
Right.
You allowed me into that space, into that circle, even though, I don't think you were supposed to. I don't know if I was supposed to be down there by myself.
Whatever.
But yeah. Hey, I got it done. I think it took me 2 years to finish that dress. But we are getting close here to, or I guess actually, I think we're going to have to wrap up
okay.
the first show here. So we are going to come back again with Darlene Daniels. So thanks so much, Darlene, for being here with me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to sign out for today. So you've been listening to Truth Before Reconciliation, produced by CKUW 95.9 FM here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm Tammy Wolf, sitting and visiting here with Darlene Daniels for this episode. We will come back next week and we'll bring you a second show with Darlene and her design or her company, Atawan Designs. So thanks so much, guys, for being here.
Stay home, raise a family, go teach gym overseas. I'll love you for whatever it is, just don't let a day go wasted. Don't want to let a day go wasted. So, gotta love what you do, babe, for that jingle jangle. 'Cause we only get a few days, nobody makes it out of here anyway. Well, put the shuffle in your shoes, babe, that's the thing worth chasing. Gotta love what you do, babe, so now the day goes wasted. Don't wanna let a day go wasted. And I like the TV way too loud, I like it colder when we sleep. I drive too close to the outside lane, I drive you crazy when I breathe. I think I'm ready for a new life, think I'm ready for a beautiful wife. Think I'm done with fighting, 'cause it's just time we're wasting.
This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.